Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to unpack the key insights from your sources fast. Today, we're looking at year-end tax strategies, specifically real estate bonus depreciation. It's definitely a complex area, but one that offers some pretty big financial opportunities if you get it right.
Exactly. And understanding the rules right now is more critical than ever. Things have shifted quite a bit in the tax landscape recently, so this isn't just about finding a quick write-off. It's about making, well, genuinely informed decisions. We want to give you that balanced view today.
And speaking of shifts, exciting news, right? Our sources are confirming this recent extension. 100% bonus depreciation is back on the table. So for listeners maybe bracing for that phase down, how did this happen? How did they slam the brakes on that?
Yeah, it's fascinating, actually. There's new legislation, sometimes called the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, informally, of course. It became law July 4th, 2025, Public Law 11921, and it specifically extended 100% bonus depreciation, but crucially, for qualified assets placed in service during 2025.
Wow. Okay, so that directly overrides the old TCJA schedule. That plan phased down from 100% to, what was it, 40%?
That's right. A major change for this year.
So how do investors, real estate investors specifically, actually access this? What's the mechanism?
Typically, you need something called a cost segregation study.
Okay.
So this study basically identifies specific parts of the building. Think fixtures, carpeting, certain land improvements, things the IRS sees as having shorter lifespans for depreciation, maybe 5, 7, or 15 years.
Right, shorter than the main building structure itself, which is much longer.
Exactly, 39 years for commercial. So these shorter life items, they become eligible for that immediate 100% bonus depreciation write-off.
Got it. So once you've identified those through this study, what's the main advantage? What's the big pro here for you?
The biggest one, significant upfront tax savings, really significant. You can essentially create a large paper loss in year one. Let's take an example, say a $2 million commercial property. Maybe the cost segregation study finds $500,000 of components eligible for bonus depreciation. Boom, an immediate $500,000 deduction on your tax return. Now, if you're in, say, the 37% federal tax bracket, that's roughly $185,000 saved right away.
$185,000, that's substantial. That really changes the numbers on a deal, doesn't it? What does that kind of capital injection do?
It fundamentally shifts your capital liquidity. It's not just a number on paper. That $185K isn't theoretical. It's actual cash you don't have to send to the IRS.
That you can use it for?
For mortgage payments, maybe needed renovations, reinvesting somewhere else, especially now, you know, in the current economic climate, freeing up that kind of capital. That's a critical boost to cash flow for many.
Sounds incredibly powerful. Almost too good to be true sometimes. We always stress, though, a tax break can sometimes, well, hide the potential problems, can't it? What are the risks if you go into an investment thinking only about the tax angle?
That's such a crucial point. A great tax tool should never, ever be the reason you buy a bad investment. The golden rule here really has to be the underlying asset is paramount. Always. A huge tax deduction won't save you if the property itself is flawed. You absolutely have to do your homework first. Rigorous due diligence.
On the fundamentals.
Yes. Location, the market, tenant quality, the physical condition, realistic cash flow projections. All of that before you even start thinking about taxes.
Right. And that paper loss you mentioned earlier. Can you actually use that loss against, say, your salary income?
Ah, good question. Not always. That's where the IRS's passive activity loss rules, the PLL rules, come in. Generally, losses from rental real estate, they're considered passive. Meaning for most people, those losses can only offset other passive income, like income from other rentals. If you don't have enough passive income, the loss gets suspended, you carry it forward.
Okay, so it's stuck, potentially. Is there a way around that?
There is, but it's tough. It's the real estate professional status, or REPS. The requirements are strict, a high bar to clear. But if you do qualify,
then you can use the losses.
Yes. Then you can deduct those rental losses against your ordinary income, W-2 wages, business profits, things like that. And with 100% bonus depreciation potentially creating much larger losses, qualifying for REPS becomes even more important for actually using them.
Makes sense. So let's say you qualify, you take the big deduction.
Yeah.
Is that tax gone forever? Is it forgiveness? Or is there a catch later?
Definitely a catch later. It's tax deferral, not forgiveness. It's called depreciation recapture.
Recapture. Okay.
When you eventually sell the property, the depreciation you claimed over the years gets recaptured by the IRS. and it's taxed. Not at the lower long-term capital gains rate either.
Oh.
It's taxed at a maximum federal rate of 25%, so higher than the typical 20% max for long-term gains.
So selling early kind of reduces the benefit then.
Exactly. The longer you hold, the more that time value of money works in your favor. Selling early diminishes that benefit. And while you can use a 1031 exchange to defer the gain and the recapture when you sell,
it doesn't disappear.
Right. The liability just follows the new property. You're essentially just kicking the tax can down the road.
Okay. So putting it all together, what's the core takeaway for you, our listener, thinking about real estate right now?
Well, look, 100% bonus depreciation, especially with this recent extension, it's an incredibly powerful financial tool. No doubt it can absolutely enhance the returns, but of an already excellent investment. It should never be the main reason, the sole reason you buy a property.
Focus on the fundamentals first.
Absolutely. Find those high-quality opportunities with solid foundations, good location, good numbers. If that investment then also offers this tax advantage as a sort of secondary benefit, then you've really got a winner.
That's crystal clear. And as always, we really have to advise you, talk to your own CPA.
No.
Your tax advisor, get advice for your specific situation, especially since this bill just passed, there might be nuances or details still emerging.
Definitely. And ultimately, you know, as these tax laws keep changing, remembering that golden rule is key. Prioritize the fundamental strength of the investment over just temporary tax breaks. That's how you build lasting wealth. So maybe think about this. How might that perspective, focusing on fundamentals first, reshape your next investment decision? What could that look like for your portfolio?